Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this broadcast. My name is Nicholas. We've been continuing our study here in Ecclesiastes. A quick run for the break there. Just didn't last long enough. All right, let's pick up back here. We've got to chapter 10 and verse 1. That's where my bookmark is. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Don't let it slip. You can do a lot of good in your life. You can be a great example to your children by learning obedience to your children, your grandchildren, and all of those that are around you. But a little folly can do a lot of damage. It sure can raise a stink, as the preacher says here. So a little folly can do a lot of damage to him who is in reputation for wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's is at his left. Yes, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to everyone that he is a fool. Of course, we live in a predominantly right-handed world, and so the illustration here is that the right-handed man, or the wise man's heart, is at his right hand. He knows how to handle things. It's not clumsy for him. He uses wisdom. He's the wise man. But a fool goes through life clumsily, not doing his best, not handling things properly. But, you know, you would do the opposite if you're left-handed. Okay, yes, if the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. There's wisdom there. And being led by the spirit, you'll know when it's time to flee. But in most cases, it's not time to flee. For the illustration of, you see the policeman in your rearview mirror flashing his lights, the policy enforcer out there on the road. You don't flee. That would be foolish. You could get yourself shot. So that's probably the best illustration to illustrate what the preacher is saying here. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, don't leave your place. Yield, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. There is an evil which I've seen under the sun, as an error which proceedeth from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low place. Yes, folly is set in great dignity. It's, you know, when you watch, like, you see the Pope, yes, that brings to mind folly is set in great dignity. And, you know, kissing little wafers and bearing little statues, little dolls of the Queen of Heaven. What? It's folly, but they set it in great dignity. They'll take the doll of the Queen of Heaven and put it in a case and adorn it with gold, and everybody's dressed up in all these fancy robes of, you know, purple and scarlet and white and whatever, and they parade it through the street. And you look on this spectacle and you go, folly is set in great dignity. I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking as servants upon the earth. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Yes, be wary, whatever you're doing. If you dig a pit, you can fall into it. I believe this is to be taken both figuratively and literally in many of these. A lot of people dig figurative pits. I've had people dig pits for me, digging pits for me right now, and I'm watching them fall into them. Yes, I thank the Almighty for his protection, that he has put a hedge around me. Ah, hey, there we go. A hedge. Whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Yes, it makes me think of that hedge of thorns, that hedge of protection that the Almighty has put around me. And those that are trying to break that hedge, because they're there. There are people trying to break that hedge down. So what does that mean? A serpent shall bite them. Oh, hey, that gets pretty deep. Because we all know who the serpent is. It is Satan bites them. So the Almighty, I mean, I'm so grateful for the hedge of protection that the Almighty has put around me. Because I see the serpent biting them that are trying to break it down. Yeah, they're controlled by Satan. And how do I know that? Because they continually break his law to try to hurt me, to break down that hedge of protection. Yes, they are owned by Satan, demon-possessed, or at least controlled by demons. At least there's a demonic influence there, if not total control of their lives. That's when you break God's law and you do it knowingly and willingly, you have given your life over to the evil one. When you do it to hate your neighbor without a cause, you think you have a cause, but if your cause is not lawful, you know, then you don't have a cause. You're doing it without a lawful cause, then you have given yourself totally over. You have been bitten by the serpent for trying to break the hedge of protection that the Almighty has put around me and his servants. And everyone that serves the Almighty, they know about this. Because when you're serving the Almighty and you're hitting home and you're hitting hard against the devil, against the enemy, they come at you. He sends his demons in, and his demons have control of certain people, and he drives them through hatred, envy, whatever. And they come at you, and they try to tear you down. But let the serpent come out of that hedge and bite them. You know, if they don't repent, let them be turned over to Satan, the serpent, for the destruction of the flesh. So I do pray that my enemies repent. I do. You know, that's the good thing. That's where I try to overcome evil with good. I don't repay evil for evil, but I try to overcome evil with good. I pray for my enemies. And even though I realize that it is unlikely, because it is unlikely that most people will repent. The unfortunate fact of this life is that most people will choose to pay the price for their own sins. Many in pride, I don't need a savior. I don't need a crutch. I don't need that crutch of religion. I'll stand on my own. I don't need a savior. They say stuff like that. Or that's deception, of course, because what they really are saying is, I love my sin too much. I don't want to give up the pleasure of sin. Whatever their sin is, the love of money, the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, you know, all those things, greed, envy, whatever is driving them, they don't want to give it up, so they pay the price for their own sins. Bad plan. Paying the price for your own sins is a bad plan. See, because the wages of sin is death. And the problem with paying the price for your own sins is that you cannot escape death. That's why you do need a redeemer. You do need a savior. Because if he pays the price for your sins, you get to escape death. That's the plan. That's what he has for you. Oh, watching some foolish atheists. I mean, they're really getting bold, those atheists. And they go, well, tell me something. You know, here, I'll tell you something. All you atheists out there, you can verify this for yourself. You shall surely die. That's the truth. That's all the truth you need. You shall surely die. Now, how are you going to escape death, atheists? You spend your life saying, oh, I don't believe in God. And your whole life is denying something that you don't believe in. What foolishness, what folly, what vanity. Who are you kidding? You're certainly not kidding me. You're certainly not kidding the Almighty. You're just kidding yourself and whoever else you can delude, who you can talk into your delusion. You shall surely die. That's all there is to it. Now, how are you going to escape that? Oh, you think, well, that'll be fine. I'll just die and I'll be dirt and I'll remember nothing anymore forever. Sorry, there is that second resurrection where you're going to stand before the judge of the universe and you're going to give an account to him and you're going to be judged by all the things that you did in this life, including the rejection of the work and the offer of eternal life, the escape plan that you neglected to take for whatever reason that you deluded yourself into thinking there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God, and you shall surely God die, and you will meet the God that you deny. So if any atheist happens to hear this, well, they've been preached to once more, but I don't have time to pursue those foolish atheists out there that are self-deluded. The fact is, they love sin, so they've allowed themselves to be deluded. Whoso removeth stones shall be hurt therewith, and he that cleaveth wood shall be endangered thereby. Yes, pay attention to what you're doing. Don't walk through life as a fool. You know, if you're chopping wood, you know, protect your eyes. You could still be endangered. You know, be cautious. Go through life with your eyes open. Act wisely. Whoso removeth stones shall be hurt therewith. Well, if you're wise, you're not going to be hurt with those stones, but it could happen. If the iron be blunt and he do not whet the edge, then he must put more strength, put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. So whatever you do, that's the lesson here. That's what the preacher is saying. These words of wisdom is that wisdom is profitable to direct all things, you know, to sharpen the edge of the axe so that you won't have to work twice as hard. And, you know, that can be applied to everything you do. Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a babbler is no better. The words of the wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. Again, I see this demonstrated by the fools that lie continually. Their lies swallow themselves up eventually. They get bit by the serpent trying to break the hedge of protection. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness. As we're talking about, the lips of a fool shall swallow up himself. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be, and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them, because he knoweth not how to go to the city. Yes, he doesn't follow instruction. He doesn't seek out instruction, what he does, he or she. Woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child, and thy princes eat in the morning. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness. And that's how I live my life that way. I don't eat just to eat. Some people, they have to eat. It doesn't matter whether they're working, whether they need the strength or not. And I see them when they get, you know, 30 years old, they eat like they're a teenager and they get fatter. Then they get 40 years old and they have to get up and have that big breakfast every day. They don't reduce their diet, realizing that their metabolism has changed, and they get bigger still. And they're not eating for strength. Me, I eat for strength. I ate very little this morning, and I ate for strength, knowing that if I didn't eat that little that I did eat before I went on the air, because talking for 2 hours burns up quite a bit of energy, and I know that I would faint or begin to feel faint if I don't eat a little. But if I wasn't going to do this work or other labor, then I wouldn't eat at all. I would wait until, you know, noon to eat. I would fast in the morning. I would not break my fast. That's what breakfast is. I would not break my fast until later in the day. And usually that's what I'll do if I'm not going to work, if I'm not going to get on this broadcast. And I only eat enough for strength. I don't want to eat too much. there is wisdom there. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness, not just for the pleasure of eating or just because their appetite demands it. By much slothfulness, the building decayeth. And, you know, the building of our life, through much slothfulness, decayeth. Pay attention to what you're doing. Pay attention to your body. Pay attention to your eating habits. Pay attention to your exercise habits. Don't let your building decay through slothfulness. Get up and go for a walk. Make sure you get a little exercise every day. This applies not just to the building of the house that you live in and maintaining that. There's wisdom there, but maintaining the tent, the building that you occupy, that your spirit and your soul occupies. Through much slothfulness, pay attention. Are you destroying the building of your life, the building of your flesh, or is it decaying? Why? Through much slothfulness, the building decayeth. And through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. I've seen that demonstrated. People stop. You know, if you retire from your job, don't stop. Keep going. Find something to do. Plant a garden. Go for a walk every day. Get on your bicycle and ride. Find something to do with your hands and do it with your might until the day you die. I'm going to work until I die. I've made up my mind. There's no retirement for me. I may retire for an hour here and there. You know, I may retire in the evening and relax because I should do that. I should rest. There is a time for rest and relaxation. The Almighty commands it, a day of rest. 1 in 7, the Sabbath day, rest. He thought it was a good thing. He thought we should do it. But you can't rest every day. Slothfulness, that's what it's called when you rest more than you should. Yes, get up and do something. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with thy might. And if you're sitting in a chair like I do, I sit in a chair a lot of hours, but I have to jump up. I can't stand it. I got to get up and move. You know, as I get out there and ride my bike, and I realize that I'm not getting enough upper body exercise to keep, you know, my muscles are shrinking. I got to find something to do with my upper body. So I'm going to do that. Yes, I need to do that. Because if I don't, the house will, as it says here, what are the words? Through much softness. Oh, yes. The house droppeth through. You know, apply that to your own body as well as the house you're living in. By much slothfulness, the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands. Let's take that literally. The house droppeth through. Yes, are the muscles beginning to droop, you know? Yeah, we're continuing here with the preacher. A feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. Curse not the king, no, not in thy thought. Curse not the rich in thy bedchamber, for a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the batter. And yes, why dwell on those things anyway? Is there not enough good to do in your life without cursing the rich or the king, which has no effect on the king or the rich, but only affects you? Mm-hmm. Let's continue on here. We have we got through Ecclesiastes, and we get to chapter 11 and verse 1. I think we're going to finish it up today. Cast thy bread upon the water. Upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. I love that song. Cast your bread upon the waters. There's several renditions of it, but it's great. You know, just keep sowing. Keep sowing seed. Keep casting your bread upon the water, for thou shalt find it after many days. Don't be afraid to keep planting, to keep sowing, to keep giving. It will come back. You know, and there's always that treasure in heaven. You know, that we're going to reap one day and have that reward forever. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Yes, plant, sow, you know, keep giving. it'll come back, and it'll come back when you need it. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. If the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. You know, it's just like year after year I watch the farmers plant the hay, and some years there's no rain. It doesn't grow at all. And like a year like this year, it didn't rain until this month. And so the hay started to grow. They're not going to have much. It may dry up. You just don't know. He said that he that regardeth the clouds and he that observeth the wind shall not sow, but he shall not reap. You never know what's going to be. Just keep reaping. Just keep sowing and keep sowing and keep planting and keep giving. It'll come back to you eventually. We'll be back in a few minutes.